We're teaching on the wealth transfer, and this is part 31, so we've come some distance here. And what we're doing now is just summarizing and making sure that you understand there's a thorough understanding of what we're talking about when we're talking about this idea of the wealth transfer. So let's read starting at verse 22. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. All right, now when Jesus came into the earth, he preached repentance. And we find that over in Mark's gospel, if you go, Mark chapter 1. And in Mark chapter 1, he came announcing his ministry. He said in verse 14, "Now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel.'" Okay? Now that's important. So he's saying the gospel of the kingdom is what he preached. He didn't preach what we call a gospel of salvation, meaning having to do with a person being born again. Born again is certainly a part of the kingdom of God teaching, but it's not all of it. When we're now, the word is getting most familiar with in most churches, and that is a word called transformation. Transformation. It means not only are we going to see people born again, but some of the other areas of their lives would be restored as well. Now, notice what he's doing. He's taking us back to Eden. He's taking us back to the Garden of Eden. He's having us to be restored. Over in Joel chapter 2, he said, "I'll restore to you the years that the cankerworm has eaten, the caterpillar upon worm, my great arm which I sent among you, and you shall eat plenty and be satisfied, and my people shall never be ashamed." Now, this restoration he's talking about, not just a restoration in your life, but he's talking about restoring us back to where mankind started. Because Jesus was this sample son, if you will. So he wasn't functioning as God. He was functioning as a man, anointed by God. Now that, all right away, that puts you in his category. Over in John's gospel, in John chapter 5 and verse 26. "For as the Father has life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of" who? Man, not God. So even though we know that Jesus came from God, Son of God, he put his Godhead ability aside and came as a man. In fact, he said, he stood up in the synagogue, he opened a book and started reading, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Now, anointed me. So Jesus had to be anointed. Remember when the anointing came upon him? The anointing came upon him. It's kind of like a bird or something coming upon him. And he had to be anointed. My point to you is that if he were functioning as God, he wouldn't have to be anointed. Because where would you go to get any stronger anointing than God? Because you, same thing. He said, "As he sent me, so I'm sending you." Same deal. He said, "But don't leave here till you get the anointing." And that's when the Holy Ghost came on the church. Now, in this, so we're saying that this idea of repent, first of all, it means to change your thinking, change your belief. Okay, what you believed before is not right. So you got to change that. Well, that's tough to go through school half your life and find out what you believed is not right. That you got to be taught something different. So in this, Jesus is saying to them that what I'm going to teach you is almost 180 degrees out of phase with what you have learned so far. And repent, turn and go the other way, change your mind. So as we're doing that, we're talking about here believing something that is the word of God. If you remember, belief is what really stopped them from going into Canaan. He said they didn't go in because of unbelief. Many times Jesus couldn't heal because of what? Unbelief. See? But unbelief means, it doesn't mean you don't believe anything. It means you believe something, but you don't believe right. And there are things that God cannot do for you until you believe. That's found in Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. There are things God cannot do for you until you believe. You've got to believe it. If thou can believe, all things are possible. Okay? So we went over that last time. We talked about you can't believe without seeing. You can't believe without seeing. But we qualified that. We said you don't see with your eyes, you see through them. You see with your mind. All right? So what happens? You can't become what you don't believe. Glory to God. The Bible says in Proverbs 23 and 7, as a man thinketh in his heart, come on, so is he. So what you believe is where you're going to end up. All you got to do is look at your life right now and you can tell yourself where you believe, what you believe. Okay? Now, you can't doubt something that you see. In other words, you're designed to believe what you see. That's why they call seeing believing. You're designed to believe what you see. So we found out that you don't see with your mind or your eyes, you see through them. So you see with your mind. So the enemy comes in to paint or give you a picture that is not true, so you'll see something and believe something that is unbelief. Did that make any sense to you? That's very important. Now look what it says over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 in verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 3. All right, look what it says. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the what? Pulling down of strongholds, keep going, casting down what? Imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. See, now I got to cast that imagination down because the enemy's job is to show me a picture of something that's not true. To get me to get, receive that, believe that, and now that's where I'm going. I'm going to that place. Notice what they said over in Numbers chapter 13 and verse 30. Here's what he says. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once to possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Now watch this. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we. Next verse. And they brought up what kind of report? An evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it, it is a land that eateth up its inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it were men of great stature. You go on. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. Now, they didn't stop. Things didn't stop there. Let's go down to 14:1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people what? Wept that night. Now, why did they weep? Because of what? Not just what they heard, but what they saw. Because you take heed what you hear. See? Take heed what you hear. That's why you have to watch what you hear, because what you hear is eventually going to paint a picture and it'll cause you to believe. That's why you can meditate. You can meditate day and night, and you meditate day and night, and pretty soon, out of that meditation, it forms a picture on the inside, and the next thing you know, your mind is transformed. Why? Because you see something different. Whatever you see, you can become. Does this make sense to you? So it's a major thing that you have to believe. So Jesus said you're believing wrong. So you got to repent and believe the gospel. There's some good news here that you need to believe that goes beyond what you just heard. What they heard there, put it back up there again on 14 in verse 1. And it said all the people wept that night. Now notice, none of these people saw the giants. None of this bunch. I'm talking to 3 million now. None of them saw the giants. Who saw the giants? The 12 spies. But they came back and preached. And what they preached was logical. If they're giants, they can whip us. And that was logical to them. In other words, they didn't preach the gospel. They preached what was human reason. And preachers do that today. I'm not trying to come down on preachers, but they're trying to bring something down so that the people will accept it. That is not the gospel. The gospel to the natural mind is not reasonable. Mary, you're going to have a baby and never had a man. Let me come over here. This is great. Amen. Are you following? So I'm saying to you right now that in your life, when you come in to a church that's preaching the gospel, it's going to be something that runs somewhat contrary to what you think is reasonable. But you have a choice whether to receive it or reject it. He said, I put before you life, death, blessing, and cursing. Therefore what? Choose life. Over in another place, he said, take no anxious thought saying. Don't even take that thought. Don't even take, because thoughts will come to you, but don't say it. Because you'll paint a picture of it. You were never designed to speak anything other than what God said. The way we got out of that is through sin. Once Adam sinned, he lost control of his tongue. Didn't the Bible talk about when you control of the tongue? Look, put it up there. James chapter 3. And let's start reading about at 1, 2, 3, 4. At about the fourth verse. Let's try that. Behold, also ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they not turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Now he's talking about a tongue. Even so, the tongue is a little member, but it boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. A lot of times, people's tongue is burning up their future, burning up something that they're trying to accumulate in their life. It'll burn it up. You've been working on something for years, and then one day get your tongue to get loose, and then one day burn up what you've been working on for 10 years. That tongue is powerful. Keep going. Next verse. Let's try another one. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among the members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. So the devil's behind it. Keep going. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things of the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. Stop right there. Leave it up there. I turned on television one time on the news, and they were showing this man who had a pet alligator. This alligator slept right by his bed as he was sleeping, and it was a pet. He tamed him. Now, isn't this something? This gator, I mean, while that man could be asleep, that alligator would just say, I'm not gonna do this anymore. I'm taking over and eat that rascal up. But anyway, but I saw it. You can tame everything. Everything can be tamed. But look at the next verse. But the tongue, no natural man can tame it. It's got to be tamed by the Holy Ghost and the Word of God. That tongue is powerful because it's the thing that separated you from any other animals. I mean, not just the tongue, of course, the nature of God. But I'm saying that no other animal can do what you can do with the tongue. They say, well, a parrot can speak, but he don't believe it. Let's go on. That's him. He's just going on, man. All right? Now, so, believing. So believing, you're designed to believe. Let's go back to Numbers chapter 14 again and start at verse 1 again. All right, you there? All the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Next verse. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses, against Aaron. And the whole congregation murmured and said to them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. Wherefore has the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, and our wives and our children to be a prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? All of this because of what the leadership preached. All of that. You got to watch who you listen to. Sure. All right. So, did that bunch ever go in? Nope. Why? They didn't believe it. He tells you in Hebrews chapter 4. That's why they didn't go in, because of unbelief. They didn't believe it. Now, I'm going to say this because I'm going to show you something today that I want you to believe. Amen. I don't want you to be unbelieving. If it's in the book, believe it. And believing starts with just a decision. I have decided I'm going to believe this. And it's just like swallowing food. You take some food and put it in your mouth and swallow it. You don't have to say, I wonder if my esophagus is working properly. And you don't have to do anything. Once you believe, the system takes over. Are you with me? All right, so what we're saying is that people come out of being, come out of bondage, meaning that they weren't born again. They get born again. But once they get born again, now to just be born again is not enough.
That's right. That's right.
So let's look at Exodus chapter 3 and starting at verse 19. All right, I'm going to read that. I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not by a mighty hand. This is God speaking to Moses about the children of Israel. I'm sure that Pharaoh is not going to let him go. Okay? The devil does not want to let you go. Now, the devil is not your friend. I don't know who you talk to. He has no compassion to him. He is not your friend. I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I do in the midst thereof, and after that he will let you go. Watch this. And I'll give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when you go, you will not go empty. But every woman shall borrow of the neighbors and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment, and you shall put them on your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. What does spoil mean?
Strip.
I mean, take everything you got. Don't leave them with anything. So that's a wealth transfer. So we said that redemption is not complete without divine provision. Now, when I say divine provision, I am not just talking about money. Now go to Psalm chapter 105. Psalm 105. He brought them forth also with what? Silver and gold. Now that's reflecting back on them being delivered out of Egypt. Do you agree?
Yes.
Now in the balcony, do you agree?
Yes.
Okay, all right. You agree, that's enough, huh? Okay, all right. He brought them forth also with silver and gold. Underline the word also. Okay. Now as they came through the wilderness, came through the Red Sea, it was dramatic. Say dramatic. It was dramatic. And what I'm telling you, that we're headed towards a dramatic transfer. This is not going to be something that's under a bushel basket, something that's real quiet. Uh-uh. They're going to know God showed up. All right? Now let's put it back up there again. But he brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not what? One feeble person among their tribes. Now what does that mean? Come on, what does that mean? Everybody got healed. Everybody got healed. Now it doesn't make any difference what you had, because what God is doing here is he is taking away all of the evidence of their suffering. He is taking away every bit of whatever the devil has done to him, them, he is eradicating it. He is making it so there is no trace of them being in bondage. This is full redemption now. And this is what God is, see, because this is the good news that he can take. Well, I'm still just thinking about what they did to me. I said, well, when was it? Oh, it's back in 1942. I said, hey, get over it. You see, you can hold on to it, or you can get over it. I said, you can hold on to it, or you can get over it. Now, I know some of you have had some traumatic things that happened, but God has a dramatic delivery for you. He has something that is so powerful till it will not only heal your body, but erase it out of your mind. Come on now. We're dealing with God. We're not dealing with somebody down the street. We're dealing with the one who made you. He knows how. He's got everything for you. He knows how to heal you. He knows how to deliver you. So we're talking about this whole idea of redemption and provision. We're talking about us being redeemed, not only spiritually, but then mentally and physically and socially and financially. So five major areas of your redemption. Say, I'm redeemed.
I'm redeemed.
Say it again.
I'm redeemed.
I'm redeemed. See, I'm redeemed. So whatever area the enemy has assaulted me, then I can get redemption in that area. Doesn't make any difference. So whatever scars are left on me, now God can heal scars. He can heal emotional scars. Come on now. Come on. Whatever it is, because I know some things have happened to you just like they happened to the children of Israel because they were in slavery. Don't think they weren't raped. Don't think there was whatever have you. Thank God. God's got a healing power that is so powerful. Come on. Folks, I'm at Liki Shatarabahanda. I wanted to go somewhere right there. I felt a little tug back. I just better not go that far. But he can do it. Now, what can he do? All things. There's nothing impossible with him. I said, there's nothing impossible with him. All right, now, so what we said is there is an inexhaustible supply of provision in the invisible world. Don't think the invisible world is less real than the visible. Put it up there, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Come on, in Christ. Now, are you going to be blessed? Nope. You are not going to be blessed. Put the scripture up there. All right. No. Put that same scripture up there again. Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who hath. See the word hath? That's an old English word, which means action already completed. Got it? Come on. God doesn't start till he's finished. Say amen to this. He hath blessed us with how many?
All
spiritual blessings. Well, Pastor, I'm not talking about something spiritual. I'm talking about healing of my body. Whoa. Everything that exists in this earth was once spiritual. Now, where are these spiritual blessings? In heavenly places. In Christ. Not heavenly when you get to heaven when you die. You don't need them then. You need them now. But he's put them up there because that is the reservoir of your provision. It's right there. Say amen to this. So now it's up to you to get it. And you are God's rep. When I worked for IBM as a salesman before I got in management, I was a marketing rep. I represented IBM to the customer. Say amen. You are heaven's rep. You represent heaven to the public. So go ye into all the world and preach good news. Good news that God got healing for you. And they that believe shall lay hands on the sick. And if it needs repairing, he'll repair it. Or if it needs a new one, you'll slip one from heaven right into their body. Now, you don't do anything but lay hands. Don't you be trying to figure out how is this going to happen to him. You just believe. Are you following what I'm saying? So this provision is already there. It's already available for you, not only for your life, for anybody you might minister to. Watch this. It's plenty of it. Are you with me? Now, I'm saying this is good news. Because in your old life, if you drank too much liquor, now I'm just talking now, and got cirrhosis of the liver, you can get a new liver. Come on, you're not doing me right. If you mess with drugs and your brain is not functioning properly anymore, how about a new brain?
Yes, sir.
Come on. If you smoke too many cigarettes and your heart is not functioning like it should, how about a brand new heart?
New heart. Thank you, Jesus.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
It is very important for you. I know in your life right now, you're saying, now how in the world can this be true? Put up that 1 Peter, please, chapter 1. I see, what I heard is that these are believers. That's what I heard. I heard I had some believers up in here. Now, what you can do is just go on. You can mess around if you want to. Go on back over there to something other church. And they're preaching something other. I'm not talking about them, but I'm telling you right now how many people are preaching this. And no wonder the congregation can't go there. Because they can't believe it. Why can't they believe it? Because they never heard it. They got to hear it, man. They got to hear it. Now, don't be trying to pull it in so if it don't work, you'll look good. No, no. Push it as far out there as you can take it. And let God demonstrate himself. See, the God that I serve, he will deliver us. I'm not the deliverer. I can't heal a fly. But I am his rep. Say amen to that. Now, I know we lay hands on the sick, but we come into a time. It's going to be more dramatic than that. Don't have to lay hands on nobody. We're just going to praise God. And we're going to create an atmosphere that everybody who has a burden or a yoke is going to be removed. Everybody who has a need is going to be supplied. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good. It's going to be according to your faith, be it unto you. Now, this is not designed for the intellectual mind. All right, I'm about to go somewhere because you're going to see something. Where did I tell you to go? Did I tell you to go? First what? First Peter. All right, 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Next verse. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, come on, reserved in heaven for who? Reserved in heaven for you. Are you following what I'm saying? So it's already on reserve. And what I told you is if you've ever dealt with layaway, some of y'all, you know layaway very well. And you lay it away because you don't have all the money right now. Am I right about it? So Jesus has made the deposit for you. See, he through his resurrection, he made a deposit. He laid it away for you. Say amen to that. And it's on layaway, and you have to come and name it and claim it. Now, I know people don't like to hear this. I'm glad it's going out over the air. So they'll know exactly where I stand.
That's right.
So you have to claim it. But your claim check is faith in that promise. Amen. See, you got to present faith because faith is an international currency.
Amen.
It'll buy anything.
Amen.
Anywhere.
Amen.
Does this make sense to you?
Amen.
All right, now a couple of things I want to show you. Now, let's look at this because it's already laid there. Let's see. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 and 4 again. Let me just show you that. Then we go to Revelation chapter 13. All right, and then we're going over to something else. I want to show you something else. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath what? Blessed us with how many?
All
All spiritual blessing, where? In heavenly places in Christ. Let me just say this. Remember when Jesus said, when he cursed the fig tree, he said, have faith in what? God. Okay, the God kind of faith. We'll probably teach that on some Wednesdays. God kind of faith. That whosoever shall say to this what? Mountain, impossible situation, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things he said shall come to pass, he'll have whatsoever he what? Say. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, Mark 11:24, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them. Why? An example. Why? They're already there. I said they're already there. Now, provisions are there. Your house is there. Your new car is there. Come on. But your new hip is there too. See, we're about to get some new teeth. Now, I'm just talking now. Y'all can see. A lot of people ain't ready for this, but I'm gonna say it, because I know what happened to them spies that came back and told all that untruth. They died early. Okay, now, where am I? What did I say? Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. Just look at it. All right. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life, slain from where? Foundation of the world. When was Jesus slain? When? Come back to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, please. Look at verse 4. According as he has chosen you in him, when? All right, so Jesus was the provision that God put forth to get you saved. When was the provision laid up for you? In God's mind, when were you saved? So whatever God was going to do for any of this earth, he did it when? It's all done, folks. It's all done. Now, with God, there is no time. Got it? So you have to renew your mind, this is part of the repentance, to the fact that if you see time, you are looking through the veil of the curse. If your time was never meant to rule you, you were designed to dominate time. Time was put here as your servant, not you put here as time's servant. You don't have to wait on payday. Oh man, yo. See, this is part of the recovery. This is what I'm trying to get you to, because this thing is gonna happen outside of the boundaries of time. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now I'm taking it slow, because that's the way you like it. Take it slow, Pastor. All right, let me know when you get to first, what did I say? Samuel 17. This is when David comes to the front line and Israel has been warring with Goliath. Look what has happened. Look down here at verse 16. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself, how many days? 40 days. Now, so there were 40 days fussing with this big guy, or whatever they did. But they were afraid. Israel was were afraid to fight him. All right, and then David comes. David goes to Saul. Saul's tried to hang his armor on him. David said, no, I haven't proved this stuff. He said, why are you going to try to fight this guy? This guy's been trained in war from his youth. David said, no, I killed a lion, I killed a bear, and I can take this big guy. So God gives you private victories before he gives you public ones. All right? Now look what it says here in verse 43. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog? Did you come to me with a stick? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, you come to me and I'll give your flesh to the fowl of the air and the beast of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, are you coming to me with a sword, with a spear, with a shield? But I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Watch this. This day, not next Tuesday, not 40 days from now, not when the creek bank rise, but this day will the Lord deliver you into my hand. Watch this now. And I'll smite you and take your head off of you, and I'll give your carcass or your body and the host of the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day to the fowl of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Now here are two things. I want you to write these down. Faith declares when something will happen. Faith declares when something will happen. You see, faith only answers to crazy people. The crazy people are people whose minds no longer are governed by what makes sense. That's a crazy person. Your mind is no longer, come on now, I'm talking about dramatic recovery we're about to see here. Say amen to this. So faith declares when something will be. When we were over and staying in Sister Bev's house, and we were trying to get out of there, we couldn't raise, every time we saved some money, something, the car would break down, something would eat all the money, $500, here's $600, and we just, yeah. So I got frustrated, went on a 3-day fast, God spoke to me, I heard his voice, and he said to me four things. One, slow down. That means stop being anxious, because you can't hear God anxious. It did, listen for God. Listen for God. Then he said, listen to God. And then he said, act on what he said. Just those four simple things. So I slowed down. I listened for God. He said, declare what you want. And I said, okay, we'll be out of here and moved into our own place in 7 days. Now, did I know how we were going to do that? Because at that time, I had no money, honey. We had no money. But the 6th day came. And we went to a church service somewhere. I told my wife, I said, well, baby, we're going to be out of here in 6 days. She said, okay, where are we going? I said, I don't know where we're going. Come on now. But we're going to be out of here in 6 days. See, I got to go with what I said. Faith declares, Lord have mercy. Faith declares when something would happen. Watch it. And faith declares what will happen. Praise God. Now, y'all got to get me in this. Come on, I got some faith people. Are you faith people? He said, this day shall the Lord deliver you into my hand. And then he said, this is the way it's going to happen. I'm going to take your head off of you. Are you following what I'm saying? Man, that is pretty big talk for a 17-year-old boy who's never been trained in war. I'm telling you, you don't need no training. What you've got is a training of angels and the Holy Ghost. You need to decree a thing. The 5th day came, and then we go out and look at some places. We didn't see some places, but we passed by this luxury apartment building. And my son David was real small at that time. He was kind of laying down on his seat or something. He got up and looked at this building, nice luxury apartment building. He said, we're going to live right there. I said, shut up, boy. Why? Because it was totally out of the question. See, I'm just saying, what are you trying to do? Bring it down to where you can do it? That's not the way you serve God. You need to build a platform so other people can see your God. Now, let me tell you who doesn't like this. The intellectual does not like this because the intellect has become God.
Yes.
And that's what's happening with the world. They're busy trying to get God out of everything. We're not talking about redistribution of money. We're talking about transfer of wealth. Say amen to that. The way he wants to take care of people is put the money in your hand. You're going to take care of the poor. Say amen to that. You're going to take care of the education system in your city. Come on now. Say amen to that. You're going to provide a bailout for the banks. Folks, it's time for us to brace up and own up to our dominion rights. Boy, that's good right there. So what happened? I'm telling you, one miracle after another ended up right in the place. Now, my point to you is notice I had to decree a thing. I had to say it, but I had to slow down and I had to see it. Because you can't say it boldly if you can't see it. Say amen to that. You might be bold up in here with all the saints, but wait till you get out there and the devil says, boo. You praise the Lord. Okay, now, where was I? I'm trying to finish this. Okay, are you with me? So now let's go. Now all this is done. See, when Jesus, glory to God, I'm not going to go back to it. Let's go to 2 Kings in chapter 7, please. This is where I've been working myself up to. 2 Kings chapter 7. Wow. See, the enemy knows if you keep hanging around me.
Amen.
Really? See, the enemy made people think that there's not enough for all of us to have abundance. See, you know, some this, you know, rich, poor, so much. Hey, I understand all that. But God's got enough. God's got enough that he can make everybody in this city a millionaire. In the city of Chicago. See, somebody told you there's a scarcity. There is no scarcity. I'm not coming against anybody. I'm just telling you what God is about to do with the saints. And I'm here to preach it. Because how can you hear without a preacher? And how can he preach except he be sent? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right, look at second King. Then Elijah, here's what happened. What happened was the Syrian army had surrounded Samaria, and that's where Israel is in there. But they had been disobedient or something like that. But anyway, as a result of that, now the Syrian army was attacking them, and they were coming at them every day. But they had cut off their food supply. Now, that's an old military tactic, is to cut off the supply line. And when the enemy can talk you into not coming here on Sunday, he's trying to cut off your supply. Because what I'm giving is provision. Are you with me now? So then next thing that happened, they was in there doing all kinds of freaky stuff and cooking babies and so forth. Because when you don't go outside the walls, you start devouring from within. See, when folks don't go witness, when they don't let their light so shine, they start eating other folk. They come into the saints and get mad at Sister So-and-so because she's sitting in her favorite chair, and then start talking about her. Come on now. See, that's because you need to be out telling somebody about Jesus. All right. So what happened? The king of Israel or Samaria, He said something, but the prophet shows up. And the prophet shows up, and this is what the prophet said. Now, Let's put it up on the board. Elijah said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow, about this same time, shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." Now let me just say it like this. Tomorrow,
yeah.
Everybody up in here,
yeah.
Gonna be a millionaire. See, now wait a minute. Yeah. I'm saying that's what this is saying right here.
Right.
Y'all said, no, you say I'm the prophet, huh?
That's the prophet, right.
Okay, but I want you to see this because, see, the next verse, here comes a person, thank God for the intellect, but don't ever put the intellect before faith. It can't even touch faith. Verse 2. Then the Lord whose hand King leaned answered the man of God. He said, "Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven," now notice he's reasoning this thing out, "might this thing be?" And he said, "Behold, you're going to see it with your eyes. Come on. But you shall not eat of it." You won't partake of this. You're going to see it, but you won't get to participate. Now, even though you're with all the rest, they're going to get blessed, but you won't. You're in the same group. And true enough, as they were stampeding out to get those provisions, they trampled him to death. So unbelief can take you to an early death. And I'm out of time. We'll finish it up next time. All right. Now, if you would, stay with me on this teaching. Because there's a dramatic recovery that's going to take place in your life. Watch this. Provisions are not just money or not just kidneys, but provisions are also witty ideas. They're new inventions. That's why we're setting up a patent office now in the Joseph Center. Watch this. Listen. Because most of what's about to be created for the earth has never been created yet. And God has meant it to be here, and it's got to be here for the fullness to come. That's why the church is going to have answers that the world doesn't have. Because we're going to create new products that's going to answer the world's problems. You're going to truly be the distribution center for the kingdom of God. Say amen to that. If you're here, God has spoken to your heart about being born again.